to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio is about to commence.
Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio. It's Carl in the bottom, KCNR 1460. We're on location. We are remoting from Tobacco and Brew, getting ready to start the big debate today at 7:30 between Shasta County District Attorney Jerry Benito and his most able challenger, Steve Carlton. And I'm joined today, of course, by Bad Bob, who's over there at this point in a puddle of sweat trying to make this work.
and his
beautiful wife, Brenda, who's beating him with a stick right now. Fred Chavez will be our cameraman because we're going to be recording everything today. And speaking of beautiful, and did I mention the word beautiful? Here she is right next
it
to
me. It is a beautiful day today. Currently 7:04 if you're just tuning in here. We're at 1460 on the dial, of course, KCNR. Come on down and join us at Tobacco and Brew. It's going to be a very informative morning this morning, of course, as Carl said, where we will be broadcasting live so you can be here and see the candidates. We know that this is a very intense campaign, Benito Carlton, and so we encourage you to come on down. And once we begin at 7:30, we're not going to be taking a break except for at the half hour, so we're going to really get into some great questions. Wow, there's a roster of questions that we have that many of you have sent in that we've prepared, and God only knows where it's going to go, but we're here to broadcast it.
Well, here today we're going to provide time for both candidates to get into a subject. The format's simple. It's going to be we ask a candidate a question, and it won't be the same one back and forth. It'll be different ones. We're going to be covering subject anywhere from why did you get into law to marijuana questions that are facing our city, illegal immigration, Second Amendment, and then just a number of questions that concern the DA's office, specifically over 45 questions we have here. We don't expect to get to all of them. And we've sent the questions and the topics to both sides to give them an idea. We're not going to hit all the questions, and we're not going to do them in order. We're going to be asking each one. Maybe one question might be on the Constitution, and the second one might be on illegals. So it's the way we're going to have it set up. But we want to have both sides have a chance. And, of course, as we do on our program, civility is the main watchword here.
I like that, being the watchword.
Well, yes. We've seen so many times, and we've talked so many times, that it's not enough just to disagree with somebody. Now we have to destroy them and then eat them. And I just don't think that's the right way to do it.
Right. So we will maintain a civil room today. By the way, Fred Chavez is here, and like we said before earlier, is that Fred's filming today. So it's going to be, we'll have little snippets up of YouTube of the debate, as well as this will be in our archives. You can go later to KCNR 1460 if you've, many of you are getting in and out of the shower, getting out of the car, getting ready to go to work. We're hoping that you're going to join us this morning again. We're at Tobacco and Brew, right across from the Flag Store on Hilltop, and they've got some wonderful coffee at Espresso Joe's, which is just right next door, and we're here in the meeting room.
I think what we're going to do is we're going to be taking a break here. Let me look it over to our engineer.
Let's talk about what's happening this weekend. You know, Hot-O-Rama, I think we're going to take a Harley ride.
That's right. Well, we're going to go out.
Beautiful weekend.
We have Hot-O-Rama. Last night, of course, was Ducks Unlimited. And it's amazing on a Thursday night that you can get hundreds and hundreds of people into a room if you just mention the fact that you could win a gun in a raffle.
They were having guns, and it was fun.
Cheetah Johnson was there.
Cheetah
was having a great time.
Yeah, she was great. And the girls selling the raffle too. It was just a fun night. So it was packed, and Ducks Unlimited does a lot of worthy work for our wetlands and their preservation work. And it was thank you, gentlemen, for and ladies. There were a lot of women there last night. It was great.
Oh, yeah, in Hot-O-Rama, tonight they're going to be having just a number of events out at the Anderson Fairgrounds. They're going to be having rides. Then tomorrow, burnouts, truck competition, you name it. This is a hot rod show. It's not like, in Cool April Nights, which is a great, great event for this town. I mean, it brings together a lot of people. It's a moneymaker. People come to see Redding and decide they want to come back here. And Hotorama is kind of on the other side. You know, it's kind of the edgy one. You know, they're going to do a cruise tonight through Anderson. You know, it's just it's going
to
be
hot great. Rods all the way up into the current yeah. date, and as well
and
as
motorcycles.
The first time they're going to have an Anderson cruise, official cruise
official
this year.
Official cruise through that.
Love it.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break here. It's a Carl Lindebauer Free Fire Radio right down here at the Backroom Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. We're getting ready to start the debate between Shasta County District Attorney Jerry Benito and his challenger, Steve Carlton. We'll be starting that at about 7:33. So join us after these messages.
Where do you go when you want to buy that special piece of jewelry? Where do you go when you need an honest opinion and a trustworthy jeweler? Four Winds Jewelry. Whether selling your gold, redesigning older jewelry pieces, or buying that special stone, engagement, or wedding ring, Four Winds Jewelry is the place to go. Four Winds Jewelry has been in business for over 30 years. Four Winds Jewelry has traveled around the world, developing relationships to bring you the best in quality gems and loose stones. You deserve the best. You need a jeweler you can trust at prices you can afford. Four Winds Jewelry also has the only on-site expert watchmaker and repairman specializing in high-end watches. Come in and see us at Four Winds Jewelry.
Four Winds Jewelry on Hilltop Drive in Reading, across from C.R. Gibbs. Open Monday through Friday from 9:30 to 4. For private appointments, call 222-2750. That's Four Winds Jewelry.
Not your average petroleum company, Northern Lights Energy.
Hello, Frank and Kathy Mews again for Northern Lights Energy. We're going to talk about something besides kerosene heaters and petroleum products today. I would like to make a public awareness announcement for CASA, which stands for Shasta County Court-Appointed Special Advocates, who place volunteers with at-risk foster children in Shasta County. We have over 400 children in the foster care system. You can help them by attending a comedy event at the Cascade Theater in Reading, where Sinbad will be appearing on April 25, 2010 at 5:30 p.m. As a benefit for Shasta County's Court-Appointed Special Advocates Group, tickets can be purchased through the Cascade Theater for $35 to $39. Please give them a call at 243-8877. Tell them Frank and Kathy sent you. Thanks a lot.
Northern Lights Energy.
The Shasta District Fairgrounds will be sizzling hot for Hotorama April 22nd through the 25th. Featuring cars of all makes, models, and years. Hot rods, muscle cars, production cars, imports, motorcycles, dragsters, 4x's, and more. It's music, sound-offs, hop-offs, rock crawling, burnouts, and motorcycle competitions. There'll be live demos, food, vendors, and the Hotorama raffle benefiting the American Red Cross. And also featuring Anderson's first controlled cruise. Hotorama April 22nd through the 25th. Get your tickets today.
Hi, I'm Ryan Frost.
And I'm Katie Cundy, inviting you to join us for Psych Talk, psychological information for real people.
Every Saturday, we address with you psychological issues that affect real people today.
On KCNR 1460. We'll talk to you then.
Hi, this is Nancy Sutton Pierce. Join me for the Conscious Living Show every Saturday at 11 a.m. right here on KCNR 1460. Brought to you by Hilltop Medical Clinics and Nancy Sutton
and
House
welcome back
of
to
Yoga.
Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. What a beautiful day it is. We're down at Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Getting ready for the debate that starts at 7:30. What kind of day is it, honey?
Hi, it's a beautiful day. It's 7:15, and it's going to be a sunny day, and all weekend is going to be fabulous. By the way, if you're going to come down to Tobacco and Brew, get here. The people are starting to come in. And
park in the rear. Park in the back.
We've got great coffee at Espresso Joe's, and we'll be here. Place is going to get packed here. But remember, we start at 7:30, and we're going to be having a full hour debate with very few commercial breaks between Benito and Carlton. And what we're going to have is a 3-minute time. What do you want to restrain, I suppose, where we'll ask a question to one of the candidates. We're going to do a flip of the coin here at 7:30, and then the opponent will get the rebuttal, and that's how it's going to work this morning. So we'll
start out.
Hold the time limit to 3 minutes.
I've got the stopwatch here. I have a piece of paper to wave at our at the people that are speaking, and then I have this big club that I'm going to beat people to death if they go beyond. No, I'm just kidding, of course. You know, while we're waiting for them, the technology that we're using here, this isn't just your typical remote where you see a big van and antennas pointing at the sky. We've started using computer technology here, air cards, if you can believe it, and the technology that pushes it out, so we don't have to be hooked into any type of internet system. You know, people usually can use those too. We've been using it now. This is our third time for using it. Last week we ran it for 3 hours at it in a very remote location, and it worked fine. So we're still growing as we are in our station, and we appreciate y'all's patience with us. You know, yesterday, was Earth Day, and we had all these Earth Day
celebrations
going on. You know, and I applaud Earth Day, and I applaud the idea that, you know, people want to work for their environment. But can you go too far with this? There was a incident. You know, it's one thing to say, you know, we've got to save our environment. We've got to, you know, we've got to recycle. We've got to, you know, there's so many things going on. You know, we get into global warming, and we don't even have enough time to begin on that one today. But let's talk about this. A woman was on MSNBC the other day, and she starts talking about your carbon footprint. And she talks about the carbon footprint that people have that have children. She says, if you're thinking about how to lessen your carbon footprint for the future, you might want to think if you want to have children or not. She said that should be one of the, you know, the parts of your decision. And I didn't hear the person that was interviewing her ask a follow-up question or any question. But here's my question. So you can slow down the carbon buildup in your carbon footprint by not having children. Okay, so in the United States, we are already at a low birth level as it is. So you're going to tell people in developing countries not to have children that for their carbon footprint. I don't see people in other countries, third world nations, in African nations, in Latin American nations, Muslim nations, I don't see them slowing down their birth rate to slow down the carbon footprint. Now, China, on the other hand, is taking it to the point, and the article yesterday was how this one the government wanted to have the man have a vasectomy so he could stop having kids. Well, you know, he and his wife were kind of fighting that, and while he was gone one day, the authorities came in and took his brother, I mean literally arrested his brother, and would not release him until he had the vasectomy. So I thought that was really, you know what, you know, there's you know, everybody talks about China. I mean, China is, you know, oh, what a great economy they have, or all this. I mean, we're still not too sure how good their economy is because it's pretty, you know, they have their own numbers and all that. But don't ever forget that they're a society that's a, you know, that's run by the government that can do things like this, that can force abortions and can force vasectomies and hysterectomies. They can force that, and they have.
Well, what came to mind about the woman who was talking about the carbon footprint and having children affects it, I thought, you know, as I was driving along and listening to this woman, I wonder how her mother must feel thinking her daughter's, you know, if her mother felt that way, she wouldn't have been born. So that just was kind of where my mind went with that.
Well, usually it's the ones that are talking like this that say that, or they're here. And, I mean, and they're, what they're advocating is in the future people stop having children, when indeed, you know, to maintain the population, you've got to have, you know, a certain amount of children born every year. Hey, we're going to be taking a look at a break, Bob, and so when we come back, we're going to be getting ready then for the debate that's going to start at 7:30, about 7:35. Okay, well, today we're having a live debate between Shasta County District Attorney Jerry Bonito and his most able challenger, Steve Carlton. It's not only going to just go over, of course, the airwaves over KCNR, but it's also going out over the internet, and we are filming this for parts of it to be on YouTube. This is Carl Lindebot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Clearly, News Talk Radio.
Toothpaint, Mart, for service and quality.
Yeah, paint department.
Hi.
Hi, my husband's going to paint the outside of our house, and I need to buy paint and rent a sprayer.
Sorry, lady, we don't rent paint sprayers.
So where do I go?
See, what you do is you buy our paint, then you rent your sprayer at the paint line.
But why would I go to two different places to...
No, I don't know. Listen, lady, I gotta go. It's time for my break.
Hi, this is Jeff. At the Paint Mart, we're the one-stop solution for all our customers. Right now, you can use a paint sprayer or water blaster absolutely free for 1 day with the purchase of 10 gallons of quality Benjamin Moore paint, or buy 20 gallons of Benjamin Moore paint and get both at no charge. This limited time offer is good at any of our three stores in Redding, Anderson, or Red Bluff. Indoors or out, paint smart and save with the paint professionals at the Paint Mart, home of quality Benjamin Moore paints with all the tips and tools to help you do the job right. Now that's service.
Come to Paint Mart for service and quality.
Many of you know that Carl and I loved work out at Adamson's Peak Performance. Why? Because of results. Today I'm with Steve Wapshaw, who has an amazing testimony. Steve, share with our listeners what's happened for you.
Well, I was pushing 289 pounds, and I wasn't happy with where that was headed. So what I did was I combined the 30-minute fit small group training program with the Take Shape for Life program run by Amy down at Adamson's. And the results that I've had so far is I've lost 41 pounds. I feel 10 years younger. I'm being told that I look 10 years younger. I feel good in my body again. I've got great energy, and I'm very, very happy. I've got about 15 more pounds to lose, but I know I'm going to get there, and I'm looking forward to the results.
That is so awesome. Call Adamson's Peak Performance today for your transformation. That's 221-8006. Adamson's Peak Performance on Bocelli.
Hello, this is Barbara Jacobson.
And I'm Dana Peterson with the Largent team at Keller Williams Realty.
What is it you don't know about real estate that you really want to know?
Or need to know?
Wondering when an REO is?
Or a short sale?
Is it a good time to sell or is it a good time to buy?
What's happening in the lending market and how does it affect you as a seller?
Or as a buyer?
Get the answers to your questions by calling 248-5602 or listen every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. to the Kurt Largent Real Estate Radio Show.
Right here on KCNR 1460.
Hey, you. Yes, you. Join me live here on KCNR 1460, Saturdays from 9 to 10 a.m. on the Alana Burke Show. Catch my no-nonsense analysis of politics and culture in America today. I think your voice matters. So get out of your comfort zone, call in to my show, and be heard. The Alana Burke Show this Saturday on KCNR, sponsored by an excellent Reading dentist, Dr. Thomas Mullen, at 223-0436. He's changing lives one smile at a time.
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. It's a beautiful day. We're down at 2143 Hilltop Drive at Tobacco and Brew, getting ready to start this debate that's going to begin in about 10 or 12 minutes.
Hey, if you're just waking up, it's 7:23. Come on down. Get some great coffee at Espresso Joe's. Again, we're on Hilltop Drive. Currently 44 degrees. This weekend is going to be so awesome. Today's going to be a high of 78. Oh, yeah. I just went in the backyard a little bit yesterday, and I got a little suntan, a little sunburn, and felt good to get some great D in my skin. It's going to be 78 tomorrow, 81 on Sunday. So if you're going to plant, I suppose now's the time. However, Monday is a Pacific winter storm coming in again. So enjoy this weekend. I think it's a perfect time to get on your Harley or your bike or take your walk and get that exercise in, that much-needed workout that we all need for being so, you know, kind of homebound in the weather. So come on down. As you can hear, they're milling, because in about 5 or 6 minutes, we're going to start our live debate. We're going to do a coin toss to see who gets the first question, whether it's going to be Steve Carlton or Jared Benito. And we have questions with the three-minute allotted time.
And then we have a two-minute rebuttal from the other side and a two-minute answer from there. So it's going to be we want to have make sure people have our candidates have a time to express their opinions and then answer what their opponents are saying. And, of course, all the questions have come from either – our office or from our listeners, and we have a number of questions from listeners, and we are going to be covering all types of topics today that you may not have, you know, hear in other debate.
And what we want you to remember is that we are not going to be taking your calls, and we are not going to be taking your emails. This is a very concentrated one-hour live debate. So if you feel like you need to get up closer, come on down before you go to work this morning and see the candidates. And like we can only fit about 90 people in this room, and we're starting to fill up. So come on down.
Yeah, you know, 90 may be a little bit too many. We may be looking at closer to 50 or 50.
Capacity is 90.
The capacity is 90, but, you know.
Yeah, well, you can still stand up in the back.
And, you can, if you all get in here and there's 90 of you in here, we will have a good time. Anyway, you know, today, it is a beautiful day. You know, this weekend's got so many things going on. And tomorrow we take our first, or this weekend we're going to take that first long Harley ride so that we can, you know, get out in the sun.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
That's right. We're going to just embrace this beautiful North State that we have. And actually, and this is what we love about what we do here on KCNR, is be able to have the like a day like today, because a lot of what happens in the North State is affected by who we have as our district attorney and the people that we do elect as officials. And it's very important to be involved in government, and that's one of the things that we do here on KCNR. All of the candidates will be able to have a voice on our station. We have Kathy Darling is going to be on next week. We're
trying to get her opponent, Russell Hunt.
That's right. And we just found out yesterday that he was opposing her, so we're going to have everybody on before the elections that's running. And so, by the way, we want to thank Belongi Entertainment, Bob and Brenda Belongi. Bob has come down here and figured out an intricate way to be able to stream us without having to put that antenna out in front, which is we're doing this all through the computer. We have about 3 minutes before we have to take our break, and then on the other side we will begin our debate.
That's right, and we're going to be, like I said, we're going to be doing a coin toss, and we'll be getting started after that 7:30, after the 7:30 break. Now, again, if you're just tuning in, it's about 7:28. It's going to be 80 degrees day. It's currently 44. It's going to be a beautiful day. We're going to be starting the debate between Shasta County District Attorney Jerry Benito and his challenger, Steve Carlton, here right after the 7:30 break. You know, the rules are simple. You know, question, answer, rebuttal. They're going to have a chance to talk about what the you know, what the issues are. They're going to and there'll be no questions from the audience. We already have gotten those questions, and of course, you know, no rabid demonstrations in the outside areas. So.
About 2 minutes before our break here, and when we come back from our commercial break from Fox News, we will do the coin toss. And as we begin our coin toss, I guess, are we going to call heads or tails?
Yeah, that'll be it. Whoever calls, and and then whoever decides that is who's going to start first, and then the other one will finish up in the summaries this afternoon or this morning. So, the guest we have guests next week. Like I said, Kathy Darling's coming in. We're trying to line up all the different people that are running for office here, all of our candidates. And of course, you know, we do not endorse any candidate. We just don't do that. We don't attend fundraisers. We don't do any of those because
we might show up at a party and find out it's a fundraiser.
If it's a great party, we may show up anywhere.
Yeah,
the bottom line is we don't endorse. We just want to present everybody at as an equal spot as we can, so that let the people make up their minds. If we do any endorsements, it may be at that last day or something that just says, hey, this is what we think. You know, maybe not. I don't know if you count that as an endorsement.
And if you're just tuning in, again, it's KCNR 1460. This is Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio, Clearly News Talk Radio. It's 44 degrees. It's going to be 78 today. And again, live debate right here at Tobacco and Brew with Carlton and Benito.
And it's going to be starting as soon as our break is over, and it's going to be about another 30 seconds. So. Join us down here at Tobacco Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Shelly, the owner, has just walked in and is making sure everything's happening. Good morning, Shelly. She's all, you know, Tobacco Brew provides this meeting place for our community, and they are a great supporter of our community and our veterans. So this is Carl and DeBott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 1460, Clearly News Talk Radio.
From the Fox Business Network, the most powerful name in business news, Do we really want to give these guys even more authority? That's the view of Republican Congressman Daryl Issa reacting to reports that SEC staffers were downloading porn while the financial system was on the verge of meltdown. This as President Obama calls for tighter SEC control of Wall Street. Today's quarterly earnings reports, Xerox lost $42 million and Honeywell says profits were down 3%. The financial situation in Greece hasn't gotten much better. The country's deep in debt, the prime minister is asking for a rescue by other European nations and the IMF. Meantime, Iceland, which is dealing with that volcano eruption, now facing a downgrade of its bond rating by Moody's. And German researchers are working on a car that lets you steer with your eyes. Another good excuse to keep your eyes on the road. With the Fox Business Report, I'm Robert Gray.
This spring.
Hey, this is Carl Bott. Every morning after the show, Linda and I go out for breakfast. And our favorite place to eat is Country Kitchen. You know, Lynn and Charlie Moss have been serving the best breakfast and lunch daily for 17 years. When you walk through the door of Country Kitchen, you can smell those fresh baked goods. You know, like their homemade cinnamon rolls, made in their own bakery. Reminds me of home. The soups, many of which are Country Kitchen's own special recipes, are made from scratch. You can even create your own omelet or sandwich. When you combine great food, great staff, and a great atmosphere, well, Country Kitchen is going to become your favorite place to eat, too. And when you order your entree, just mention Free Fire Radio, and you're going to get a free cup of coffee or a soft drink. Country Kitchen is located at 1099 Hilltop Drive, just north of Macy's. Country Kitchen is open 7 days a week from 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. Come on down and join us and celebrate 17 years of excellence, and be sure to mention Free Fire Radio.
Are you a hunter? Do you just like to shoot? Join the revolution. Are you tired of being ignored and dealing with the my way or the highway attitude? Join the revolution. Come check out Bastiani Arms. They have a great selection of guns and accessories, and if you want something they don't have on the shelf, they'll be more than happy to track down what you're looking for and order it. That's what the revolution is all about. It's making sure you, the customer, get the respect you deserve and the products you're looking for. Bastiani Arms has a surplus of .308 ammo on sale while it lasts, only $13.99 for a 20-round pack and $112.99 for a 200-round case. So hurry into Bastiani Arms. From guns to ammunition, full-service gunsmithing, and hunter's education classes, you can get it all in just one stop at Bastiani Arms. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, located at 2539 Larkspur Lane, or call 222-8222.
Most people have a closet or drawer full of precious memories that are being lost day by day. Photos, slides, records, audio and video cassettes, they're all slowly fading away due to deterioration of the media they're recorded on. Belongi Entertainment Enterprises offers digital archiving services for all types of visual and audio media. Properly stored optical discs such as DVDs and CDs will last for decades and can be used to make perfect copies for family and friends. Find out more at Belongi Entertainment Enterprises, 223-3515.
Hey, Banjo Bill, where you heading?
We're going to the West Side Performing Arts Wild West Variety Show.
When is it?
April 23rd and 24th at the Old Shasta Schoolhouse, Highway 299.
Yeah, I hear they got fantastic entertainment, drinks, and a barbecue to die for.
For more information on the Wild West Variety Show, just call 515-7151.
515-7151?
Or visit them on the internet at westsideperforming.com.
What's an internet?
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. It's Carl and the Bot, KCNR, 1460, Clearly News Talk Radio.
Currently 44 degrees. Today's going to be a high of a 78. Welcome to Free Fire Radio here on KCNR 1460. We are broadcasting live. Let's hear it from the crowd. Yeah. And if you're going to come down and you're going to hear this wonderfully exciting debate, you better come now because we're going to be here for an hour. We're going to be breaking at 8 o'clock for Fox News, and we'll be here till 8:30. And we've already done our coin toss. Till 9 o'clock, but 8:30 with a live debate. But we are doing the coin toss. We've already done the coin toss,
and Mr. Carlton has won the coin toss, and he's going to begin. Now, the rules for the debate, are. Each participant's going to have 4 minutes to introduce themselves. After that, questions will be asked by me or Linda to each participant. They will have 3 minutes to answer the question. Your opponent will then have 2 minutes to comment, and then you will have 2 minutes to answer that. I'll be the timekeeper and will warn each speaker when 1 minute is left and 30 seconds and to finish. Not all questions are going to be in order. We may be talking Second Amendment on one and civil liberties on the other. Each participant will then have 5 minutes to summarize his position at the close of the debate. Since Mr. Carlton is starting out first, Mr. Benito will be able to have the last word on the summary. No questions from the audience, and of course, no disturbances, et cetera, et cetera. We all know that. So, first of all, thank you, gentlemen, for joining us. Let's check your microphones. Carlton, are you?
I don't know.
You're up. You're up and you're working.
Okay. Okay. Good morning, Jerry Benito.
Okay. All right, we're ready to go. Okay. Mr. Carlton, let's start with you.
Thank you. This election is not about programs or things of that nature. This election is about justice for all. It's about treating people fairly. It's about integrity, and it's about judgment. I am running because Mr. Benito is lacking in these essential requirements for the position of district attorney. These are serious issues. I'm tired of coming to these forums and not dealing with the issues in this campaign. So I'm challenging Mr. Benito this morning to respond to the issues. I am challenging Mr. Benito to respond to his position on the Adam Martinez case. When he sent out his press release, indicating he was not going to prosecute the gentleman in the Adam Martinez case, he said that the reason was because Shasta County juries would not convict. He didn't say that the suspect was not guilty. He didn't say that it was justified, but he said that Shasta County juries are cowboys. In San Francisco, this would be a case that would be prosecuted and a conviction obtained, but not in Shasta County. But a couple of weeks ago, he changed his position in that regard. He said a couple of weeks ago that the suspect in that case was not guilty of a crime, that he was justified in punching Adam Martinez because it was in defense of others, in defense of his girlfriend. So which is it? Is he guilty but Shasta County juries are cowboys, or is he not guilty? I also want to talk about the turnover rate. I want Mr. Benito to address that. Since he's been district attorney, over 90% of his legal staff has left that office, representing over 300 years of experience. Mr. Benito's response is, well, I just got rid of the dead wood. Are you really saying that 90% of that staff was dead wood? He gets rid of that dead wood. But on the other hand, a deputy district attorney trying a case in Superior Court read a comic book during a closing argument, was chastised by the court, and Minister Benito did nothing. He fires a deputy because he allegedly lied to a witness, but on the other hand, a deputy district attorney who in a court proceeding lied to a Superior Court judge, no action is taken. The comic book deputy and the deputy that lied to the judge still work in the Shasta County District Attorney's Office. The conviction rate. Mr. Benito boast a 90% conviction rate when the Shasta County Superior Court records show that his conviction rate is less than 60%.
Thank you, Mr. Carlton. That's the first 4 minutes. This is going to be kind of an interesting hour and a half here. Mr. Benito, your 4 minutes.
Good morning. My name is Jared Benito. I'm the district attorney, and I've been your district attorney for 7 years. I will be getting to the comments that Mr. Carlton made eventually, but right now this is the introduction, so I'm going to tell you a little bit about myself. I'm married. My wife is a teacher in Shasta County, and I have two boys that were born here up at Mercy Hospital. Also, I moved to the county in 1988, and I've been a prosecutor, for nearly 20 years in Shasta County. And as a prosecutor in this county, I have prosecuted just about every case you can imagine in this county, and that includes the lowest level misdemeanor to death penalty cases. And some of those cases are the most notable cases that we've had in Shasta County. Those include the only gang murder that ever occurred in Shasta County, right here on Hilltop. And while I was prosecuting that gang member, my opponent was defending that gang member in court. In addition, I was the prosecutor on the case involving the last peace officer ever killed in Shasta County, Ken Perrigo from Bernie. Also prosecuted a case in which a woman lost her 8.5-month-old fetus, or baby, because of a drunk driver, all in Shasta County. And many other cases that I know that many of you who have been here for any length of time would be familiar with. I was appointed your district attorney by the Board of Supervisors in 2003. And at that time, I told the board I would give them 110% of my time and my life. And I have done that ever since. And I've done that consistently so. But I should tell you also a little bit about why I even became a prosecutor in the first place. I, like many other people, unfortunately, have been touched by crime. And in my family, we did have, my sister was touched by a violent sexual offense. From that time on, I was committed and have been committed to fighting crime and making our community safe. And that's what I've done all of these years that I've been here and the years in the future as well. We have an office of about 75 to 80 people, and I say that because we have 75 full-time and a few part-time. We review about 13,000 to 14,000 cases a year, which means since I've been the district attorney, we've reviewed well over 100,000 cases. And during that time, we have exhibited tremendously high quality because I expect the best from the attorneys and all the support staff that work in my office, and they have delivered. Now, during that time as district attorney, we've done tremendous things. We've been extremely effective in the work that we've done. We've been innovative, and we have consistently shown fiscal responsibility. We've done that by cutting when we needed to cut. We've also been able to find new sources of income, and we've been innovative by developing the first sexual assault vertical prosecutions, first stalking prosecution, first real estate fraud prosecution, illegal dumping program that won a state award, and we've improved existing programs such as our bad check program. And we've been effective, and I will show you the conviction rate that Mr. Carlton is absolutely false and wrong in the assertions he makes. And hopefully we'll have the time to go through each one of those. And we've reduced the number of DUI convictions. We've increased the DUI convictions to the second highest rate in the state of California according to state records. And we've reduced the number of people killed by drunk driving by over 40%. And it is my desire and goal to continue to do that excellent work in Shasta County and to remain your district attorney for the next 4 years. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Benito. Is my mic turned up here, Bob? Okay. All right. Let's go to the first question then. Mr. Carlton, you know, one of the things that has been on the forefront, it seems like, of in Redding and in the North State is marijuana. What is your opinion on the number of the marijuana communes being established in Redding?
Well, I think there are 25 co-ops in Redding.
And these are for people that have marijuana prescriptions. Having marijuana prescriptions is legal. Having co-ops is legal. That's where they obtain their marijuana, where they have themselves and others join in to produce the marijuana. There's no profit. Nobody makes any money. They're legal. And they're also well monitored. And the police department has indicated that they're having no trouble with these co-ops. So if marijuana is illegal for people under certain circumstances, they have to have a place to get it, and this is where they're getting it, and I have no problem with that.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Benito.
Well, first of all, let me correct Mr. Carlton. They are not prescriptions. They are recommendations. The law does not allow for marijuana to be prescribed. Second of all, there are only about 15 that are approved. I was at a meeting last week with the chief of police and others, and there have been some problems. Some of them are not in compliance. However, the vast majority have been. I do think we have too many in Shasta County, in particular in Redding. We actually don't have any in the county existing right now. But the city of Redding has far too many. And there are those who are neighbors to those co-ops that are having some difficulty with them. But they are legal under the law. They cannot make a profit. However, to give you some perspective, if you are the executive director of that co-op, you can have whatever salary you deem is appropriate. So in other words, somebody who is running a co-op may not be making a profit, but their salary could be $150,000, $200,000 because that's what the co-op deems to be an appropriate amount. The problem I have with the co-ops in general is that they are able to do things that a typical business might not be able to do. They don't have to fall through, or they don't have to jump through all the same hoops that you as a business owner opening, for instance, tobacco and brew have to jump through. They don't have to pay the taxes, and they don't have to account to the state government. It is only because of a meeting that I had and called together with all of our law enforcement that we developed the plan to have land use permits required, because that is the most effective and legal way to monitor these. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Gaunt, you have a two-minute rebuttal for that.
Well, the fact of the matter is that co-ops are legal, and these people are abiding by the rules, according to the chief of police in a press release three or four weeks ago. The other thing, to say I'm wrong about scripts, that's the nomenclature used in the trade, whether it's a script or an authorization, is a matter of semantics.
Okay, thank you. Our next question. We're going to go to the. I want to finish up the marijuana side here. So, Mr. Benito, this is your question. Do you believe marijuana should be legalized?
Whether it should be legalized?
Right. We're having a referendum, it seems like, this fall. Do you believe marijuana should be legalized?
Well, first of all, as the district attorney, I'll force whatever law is put out there. But my personal opinion is no. Having said that, my father died a couple years ago from cancer. And during those last few days, I probably, if I could legally, have given him anything that he wanted to relieve the pain that he was in. So that, to that extent, I understand why some people would feel that they need to use medical marijuana. But I see medical marijuana in a different context than I think most people do. In our job, we see felons, people who get on probation, who the first thing they do is run to the court and get a recommendation or get approval for recommendation for medical marijuana. I see kids, fifth graders, getting medical marijuana because of stress. Because under the law as it exists now, parents have the authority to give their kids marijuana. We have schools complaining about marijuana being grown around and near school areas where kids steal marijuana. If marijuana is legalized for recreational use, which is what's on for November, instead of driving down I-5 and seeing cornfields, rice fields, and sunflowers, you're going to see marijuana fields. And you're going to see cartels from Mexico come here and grow those marijuana plants legally out in the open and distribute those all over the world. We already have one of the largest marijuana growing areas in our national forests, and this will simply bring it out in the open. And when you come to California, that is all you will see. That's why I'm opposed to it being legalized for recreational use. But if the law allows it and the voters want, just as with 215, that's what the voters put in, then we'll enforce it. But for me, it needs to be black and white. Right now, the way the law is, it does a tremendous disservice to both those who think they need medical marijuana and feel it benefits them, and it does a great disservice to law enforcement because it is not black and white. Neither of us, neither side, knows how to address the issue. Those who want to use medical marijuana don't know where the line is, and they're afraid to go out there and use it. And we in law enforcement, it's difficult to figure out where the line is. Right now, instead of black and white, we have a lot of gray. And gray is a horrible color for law because we simply can't enforce it, and the public doesn't have the certainty of knowing what they can and can't do. So for me, give me a black and white law. Say it's either legal or not legal. But as far as I'm concerned, I'll be voting against it in November.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Carlton.
Yes, well, first of all, it's essentially legal now. The penalty for possession of under an ounce of marijuana is less than a speeding ticket. So it's really not that big an issue today. Whether it's legalized or not, I wouldn't have any problem if they just said it's legal to have under an ounce of marijuana. I wouldn't have a great deal of that. I think it would take a lot of the profit out of it, with the Mexican cartels wouldn't have the incentives that they do now to grow it and distribute it. But there would be problems with it if it is legal. Where do they get it? And things that aren't really covered by the referendum. So there would be a lot of work to be done, it seems to me, if they did legalize it.
Okay, thank you. If you're just tuning in to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, we're having a debate between the Shasta County District Attorney, Jerry Bonito, and his able challenger, Steve Carlton. We're asking a number of questions. We've just been addressing the marijuana issue. A big issue that we get on the show, a lot of calling, is concerns illegal immigration. And this question is for Mr. Carlton here. If you're a DA, we know we have illegal immigrants in Shasta County. What would you do about it?
Well, there's no authority in the states or the counties to arrest, prosecute illegal immigrants. The only thing that we can do in this county or any other county is to cooperate with the immigration department. And when arrests are made on other matters and they suspect that the individual is an illegal immigrant, they're required to notify the immigration department, and then they have the jurisdiction to take action or not. But there's nothing the district attorney, no power that the district attorney or county law enforcement has in that regard. They can't even arrest for it.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Carlton.
Benito.
I'm sorry, Mr. Benito.
Thank you, Carl.
It's still early in the day, all right? You know, it's hard to be perky every day, okay?
Need another cup of coffee from tobacco and brew.
That's it.
Okay. Actually, there are things the district attorney can do with illegal immigration. No, we cannot prosecute those. Those are federal offenses. But there are a couple of areas that we have already taken steps in. One of the first things I did when I became the district attorney is put out a policy that says if somebody's an illegal immigrant, they cannot be on probation in our county. Because when somebody's on probation, felony probation, that means they're required to report to a probation officer and a judge in our county. How can they do that if they're here illegally? So if they are an illegal alien and they are convicted of a felony, our policy is to send them to state prison. Doesn't always happen. Sometimes the judges put them on probation anyway, but our policy is to send them to prison. Now you might ask, why do we want to house them? Why not just ship them back? The reason is because you put them on a bus, and the minute they cross the border, they will probably beat you home because they'll be back in the country and back in our county. So what we do is we want them to be in state prison where the message gets back to Mexico, don't get caught in Shasta County committing those offenses. The other thing we do is with U visas. This is kind of a unique procedure the federal government put out, whereas if you're a victim of a crime and you are an illegal alien, you can fill out this paperwork that starts the process for you to become a citizen in the United States because you're a victim of a violent crime, such as domestic violence. It requires local law enforcement to sign off on it. I led our law enforcement agencies to agree that we won't do that for old crimes. We have victims from 20 years ago that come and say, oh, I was a victim 20 years ago. I want to now become a citizen. I said, no. I will only sign those U visas if you are a current victim and if there's a current case pending in Shasta County. Otherwise, I'm not signing those visas.
Okay, thank you.
Well, I don't understand Mr. Benito's position that if somebody commits a crime because he's illegal, he should be sent to prison. That makes no sense to me. If he commits a crime where a prison sentence is appropriate, he should go to prison. If he commits a crime where prison is not appropriate, he shouldn't go to prison. The people that should be dealing with the illegal immigrant issue is the Immigration Department. They're the only people that the law allows to deal with that, not Mr. Benito, and he can't set up his own rules. So what we have to do is turn these matters over to the authority that the law tells us to send it over to, and not try to take it into our own hands, which Mr. Benito apparently is doing.
Okay, thank you. We've got, how much time do we have? We have 3 minutes, so this is going to be kind of cutting us short here. So we're going to start a question, and then we'll have, 2 minutes to, or 3 minutes to, or 2 minutes to address it, and then come back. But let's just stay on the illegal immigrants, and we'll start on a new series when we come back. But Arizona, Mr. Benio, recently passed a law allowing the police to stop the people that they believe are illegal immigrants. What's your opinion of that?
I think that's a problem. That's going to be a profiling issue. Not all illegal aliens are from Mexico, because that's probably what that is geared toward. There are people who are illegally here from a variety of countries. And when you start pulling people over simply because of the way they look, I think that's a problem. So I think they're going to have some difficulty having that law upheld. And I think that's the wrong approach. I think there are better ways of dealing with
okay.
that issue.
Mr. Carlton.
Well, you can't stop somebody because you think that they're an illegal immigrant. You have to have a basis to detain somebody. You have to have articulable facts that you suspect a person is committing a crime in order to stop them. If you just stop them because they're brown, that is unconstitutional. And if this law is, as the question suggests it is, it's going to be thrown out in a heartbeat.
Well, great. We are going to be here till 9 o'clock.
We have an agreement there.
Yeah. We are going to be here till 9 o'clock with this live debate between Jerry Benito and Steve Carlton. And we welcome you to come down and join us here in the last hour. You're listening to Free Fire Radio here, Carla Linda Bott. On KCNR, it's currently 44 degrees, going to be a high today of 78, and we're taking a break here for Fox News.
In how long? Oh, in 1 minute. So we're going to talk for another minute before we break here. And not enough to ask a question, but one, we'd like to really thank Mr. Benito and Mr. Carlton for being down here today for this. We've had you both on the shows before individually, and I can just say as I have the utmost respect for both of you gentlemen and your fire and your passion. This.
Well, thank you for having us.
Well, you know, it's
appreciate it, Carl.
The thing is, too, is that, and it's for everybody, this is going to be on the archives at Free Fire Radio. So at the end of this, if you've missed part of it or you've come in, you can just go to freefireradio.com and this will be archived, as we will have even the film part of it. So this is Carl Lindebot, Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, clearly News Talk Radio.
Fox News Radio, I'm Dave Anthony. Death and destruction in Iraq. A series of bombings kill at least 56 in Baghdad. Fox's Dominic DiNatale is live in Bakuba.
Dave, it was only a matter of time before Al-Qaeda retaliated to avenge their leaders killed in a strike by government and U.S. forces at the weekend. One of the deadliest days the country's seen in weeks. Car bombs hit Shia targets across the capital, most significantly the Baghdad office of Iraq's volatile Shia leader, Muqtadir al-Sadr. His personal army is said to be on the rise again now. Authorities say that although Al-Qaeda is in a state of confusion, it will continue to strike. The impact as yet unknown. Dave?
Dominic, the oil rig that blew up in Sankof, Louisiana, doesn't appear to be leaking. This as crews keep trying to contain oil that has spilled, and the Coast Guard searches for 11 workers still missing. The housing market booms, at least for 1 month. Fox News Radio's Chris Barnes has the buying surge live from Washington.
Yeah, Dave, the Commerce Department says new home sales rose 27% last month, biggest monthly rise in 47 years, though it did follow February's all-time sales low. The increase seen is stemming from better weather and the waning home buyer tax break. This report follows yesterday showing sales of previously owned homes up nearly 7% last month. Dave?
Chris, President Obama is keeping an eye on Arizona, wary of a new law that could be signed today criminalizing illegal immigrants. The president instructing his administration to see if it violates civil rights. An accused terrorist plans to admit he plotted to bomb the subway in New York, where Fox News Radio's Jeff Manasso is live.
Dave, that accused terrorist is Zarina Midze, expected to plead guilty in a couple of hours in Brooklyn federal court to making false statements to the FBI about a plan by Najib Ulazazi, an admitted al-Qaeda associate, to launch suicide bombing attacks last year on Manhattan subways. Zazi and another man pled guilty and will be sentenced to prison, Dave.
And Jeff, 11 accused pirates walked the plank in court in Virginia, indicted on attacks and attempts to plunder two U.S. Navy ships off the coast of Africa. Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
Ford and Lincoln Mercury Service presents Mike Rowe with the secret to unlocking the space-time continuum.
Well, look, I really just wanted to talk about being in four places at one time.
Really? How do you do it?
Well, it's simple. You go to the dealership service department. You got a car, right?
Sure.
When your car needs something, what are you going to do? Go to a tire store, a brake place, a fast lube shop, a discount store? See, to me, that's all complicated. Your car needs something, you go to a Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership for service. Because they can do it all right there. Tires, brakes, oil changes, whatever you need, all in one place.
Right, like the Works Fuel Saver Package. A Motocraft Premium Synthetic Blend Oil and Filter Change, tire rotation, and comprehensive multi-point inspection. All just $29.95 or less after $10 rebate.
Expertise, value, and convenience. It's no secret. Ford and Lincoln Mercury Service.
5 quarts oil, taxes, diesel, disposal fees extra. See participating California Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership or visit GenuineService.com for mail-in rebate form and details through 52910.
We'll just keep this between us, huh?
Says it is ready to this year transfer control for more of the Afghanistan war to the Afghan government.
We now have an opportunity to construct a more effective, efficient, and flexible NATO, better prepared and ready to meet the challenges of the 21st century.
Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, the transfer process is supposed to be well underway by the time President Obama wants to bring U.S. troops home in the summer of 2011. Yet another resignation in the Catholic Church. Belgium's longest-serving bishop stepping down for sexually abusing boys the day after an Illinois man filed suit claiming the Vatican knew about sexual abuse in Wisconsin and didn't stop it.
It is the Vatican. It is the current Pope and his predecessors that have and required secrecy concerning the crimes of sexual abuse.
Attorney Jeff Anderson says his client doesn't want money, just the names of offending priests. The Vatican's attorney calls it a publicity stunt without merit. Planes are flying all over Europe today. The only volcanic ash issue left in Iceland, home to the volcano that nobody can pronounce.
There may still be a plume emerging from the volcano in Iceland, but the composition is different, and so the risks to airplanes is now marginal.
Luckily, the ash content coming out of the volcano is much less than before.
According to Iceland government official Halldór Runólfsson. Experts there are still watching for either a secondary explosion or, even worse, a possible triggering of a much more powerful, currently dormant volcano nearby. And throughout Europe, there are already debates growing about how the continent responded to the crisis. Phil Littner, Fox News Radio.
He's been on death row for 25 years. Today, there's a hearing about Ronnie Lee Gardner in Utah. He's a condemned killer who has said his preference is the firing squad. A judge could sign an execution warrant today. On Wall Street, the Dow, not doing much, down 1 point. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News Radio. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Street Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. We're having a kind of a special day today. We're down at Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. We're in the beginning of our debate between Shasta County District Attorney Jerry Benito and his challenger, Steve Carlton. We've already been going on for a half an hour. Now, we're doing this. We're just taking breaks at the hour and a half hour. We've cut out all the commercials so we could just try and get as much information out from the candidates as possible.
Good morning. It's currently 44 degrees. Again, if you're just tuning in, it's 8:05. And let's see, we left off at the break.
We were talking illegal immigration, and we're going to move on to another subject. Doesn't mean we're not going to be coming back to that. And the next question is for Steve Carlton.
Steve, these questions, both Jerry and Steve, questions have been posed through emails and various collections as we approach the debate, one of which is, and we'll begin with you, Steve, what is the most pressing problem facing the Sheriff's Department?
Well, that, I could only speak to that as a citizen. I'm certainly not involved with the sheriff's office directly, but it is clear to me that the biggest problem, and the biggest problem has always been with the sheriff's office, is a lack of deputies in the field, especially in the rural area, to do the job. They do a tremendous job with the resources that they have, but they just need more deputies out there. They have two deputies, I think, that patrol from North Reading all the way to Castella, and that's just done enough. Mr. Benito or Mr. Vasenko knows that, but in these times, it's very difficult to get those resources when the county is going to look for places to cut, the areas where they have the money, the primary areas, the sheriff's office, and so they just continue to take hit after hit. But I think that's the most pressing problem. And of course, the problem with the jail, we all know about that, and that's a big problem, again, because of lack of resources. They had to close the floor of the jail, and they've had to release sentenced prisoners. They have to release people that the court sets bail at, even high bail, and they have to OR some of those people or release them on their own recognizance. So obviously that's a big issue as well, but I think those are the two primary areas.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Carlton.
Well, obviously the biggest issue facing the sheriff's office right now is the budget. Fortunately, the sheriff and I work very closely, and that's why he's endorsing me. And we work on the issues of the jail being closed, and we have from the beginning. We try to find new ways of holding those people accountable because we want to support those officers who are out in the field and making those arrests despite the fact that they have a lack of resources. We do have a lack of deputies as well out in all areas of the county. And the sheriff and I talk about that regularly. Pretty much every day I'm talking to the sheriff about how he and my office are going to deal with these budget shortfalls. Because nearly every day we get a call from the county or the state or the feds telling us that they're taking more and more money away from us. I can tell you that the sheriff is extremely dedicated to making sure that this community remains safe, as am I. He and I attend a lot of events around the county trying to keep the spirits of the community up and letting them know that there is a presence, that we're here. We work together very closely on gang problems in our community. And despite the fact that we have a shortage of resources, and that is the biggest issue facing the sheriff's office, there's no way we're going to let our guard down. And the two of us together continue to work extremely hard to keep all of you safe, and we'll continue to do that in the future.
Thank you, Mr. Benito.
Mr. Carlton.
Well, I agree with Mr. Benito concerning the sheriff's office, but I resent his comments about the lack of resources in the district attorney's office. Neither Mr. Benito nor his top assistant will go into the courthouse. So there are two people in there that do nothing with regard to prosecuting cases. And if he has such a lack of resources, then he ought to be taking his shoes off and going to court.
Do you want me to take my shoes off, Carl?
We're okay now.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, the next question then is, and again, going on with the Sheriff's Department, we're talking about the number of people that are released and from the overcrowded jails. One of the questions that came in from one of the listeners is, what level of crime do you do, would you, what level of crime will put somebody into the jail?
Well,
that's,
yeah,
that's for me.
That's for you. Right. Well, as far as putting somebody in the jail,
I guess, and keeping them there.
I think that's the bigger question, is keeping them, because there are a lot of crimes that will get somebody into jail. It could be even a suspended license offense. But as far as keeping somebody in the jail has a matrix that they have developed. They've done a great job, Captain Don Van Buskirk at the jail and the sheriff, have put together this matrix that takes into account the seriousness of the current offense, the prior convictions that the person has, the danger to the public, as well as any risk that that person might have to themselves. And that is probably one of the most difficult jobs, because every time somebody comes in, pretty much somebody has to go out. And we are very, very fortunate not to have had a dangerous situation where they let the wrong person out. That task has been put upon them because of the shortage of jail space, but it's been there for years. So they have a lot of expertise in knowing which people to release. Just yesterday, I was talking to the captain about somebody who needs some life-saving surgery, but she also has a strike. And the victim feels threatened if this individual is released from the jail to get the medical treatment. Those are issues we deal with on a regular basis with the jail. I can tell you that if we have somebody that comes into the jail and poses a danger, we can call Captain Van Buskirk and we can ask him that he hold the person, because there is a threat to the public, and they have been extremely accommodating when they can. Some of the defense attorneys were playing a little game with us when they knew the jail floor of the jail was closing. And they would, on DUI cases, reject probation so that the judge would have to impose a six-month or one-year sentence, believing that the jail would simply release the offender. We were able to call the jail and say, look, this could be a serious problem. We need you to try to hold on to these offenders to let them know that the jail still has the capacity when they absolutely have to hold on to somebody. And also working with the sheriff's office, we have agreed that if there are serious offenders that we have to keep and the jail simply does not have the capacity, that he will ship them out to other counties and have them housed there, such as Tehama County or Modoc County, where they might have some jail space. So we work with the jail very carefully and they very closely, and they work very hard to use that matrix and release only those people that they feel the public is reasonably safe having those individuals out in the field. But I can tell you, it is still a very difficult and impossible task.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Colton.
Well, it is very difficult, and I agree with Mr. Benito. The jail has to prioritize who should be in there, and they're doing that. They're professionals, and I'm sure they're doing the best they can to keep the people that present a risk to our citizens in there and release people that are less likely to be a problem in that regard, and that's all they can do. They can only keep so many people in that jail, and the others have to go. So I don't disagree with Mr. Benito at all in that regard.
Okay, thank you. Okay, Mr. Carlton,
do I get my...
Oh, no, let me see. You had... Oh, you started, right?
Yes.
Okay, yes. You have your
okay.
2 minutes.
I just want to give an example. Because it addresses one of the issues Mr. Carlton brought up. We had a situation where two typical citizens of the community called me on a Monday morning, called my secretary and said their house had been burglarized, and they were terrified. My secretary asked if I'd be willing to meet with them at a minute's notice, and I said, sure. So they came in and I talked to them.
They told me how terrified they were that this man had burglarized their home during the day. He was caught by the sheriff's office. They did a great job at the scene. And the reason they were terrified is because he had been arrested three times that week and released from the jail for relatively minor offenses, but it was obvious this guy was not getting the message. So I assured them that we would do everything we could once the case got to our office, that we would try to keep the person in jail. Sure enough, the case came in, and sure enough, we reviewed it. It was a burglary. The guy had been released from the jail previously. I called the captain, Captain Van Buskirk, and I said, look, we need to hold on to this guy. These people are really scared. And he agreed to do so, and eventually that person was convicted. But my attorney, the one that Mr. Carlton refers to as lying to a witness, I told that attorney at 12 o'clock, go there and keep the bail high and get it higher to keep that man in. And my attorney failed to do so. He simply said he forgot. This is at 1:30, an hour and a half later, said he forgot and then lied to the victim outside of court. I won't tolerate that, and I will not have people working for my office who engage in that type of behavior. And he no longer works for my office, and those victims are happy now and support me. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. Okay. Mr. Carlton, let's move into the DA's office itself. You've mentioned that there have been some mistakes done in the DA's office. What decisions have been made in the past couple of years at the district attorney level that could or should be revisited, in your opinion?
Well, a lot of those decisions can't be revisited because the damage has been done, the irreparable damage has been done to some of these people. And I'm talking about, for instance, the comparison of the police officer whose son was tragically killed. No charges were filed, which I totally agree with that decision. Mr. Benito indicates what more could the law do to him. And it would be, and I agree, and it would be inhumane to prosecute that case. But how do you compare that to the 16-year-old girl who is drinking with her friend? Her friend dies of alcohol poisoning. What is the distinction there? Is the law going to do anything to that girl that hasn't been done to herself? She's done to herself by reliving that incident every day since. And he prosecutes her. But nothing can be done on these. Those cases are concluded. Well, I guess there could on the police officer case, but as I indicated, I wouldn't think of prosecuting that case. But the one that I would revisit, and I've said I'm going to revisit, is the Adam Martinez case. And Mr. Benito indicated initially, as I said, that Adam Martinez was guilty, but a Shasta County jury wouldn't convict. If he doesn't think he's guilty, why do you go to the... why do you go and take an informal poll of people to see if they could get a conviction? If he concludes they're not guilty, you don't go to anybody. You close the file. But now he's changed his tune because that explanation didn't resonate so well. Now he's saying he's not guilty. That one I would clearly, and if elected, will revisit.
Thank you. Mr. Benito.
Yes, thank you.
You have 2 minutes.
All right. First of all, we review over those last 2 years probably about 25, 26,000 cases. And in any case in which somebody disagrees with the decision, they always have the option of going to the Attorney General's office. Nobody's ever done that. Nobody's even asked or approached the Attorney General's office about any of those decisions. It's interesting that he talks about the Rhodes case, which is the 4-year-old boy that was killed with his father's gun. And previously it compared it to a case where a 12-year-old girl was killed until I brought up the point that he never even bothered, my opponent, never even bothered to look at the press release that's online that has been since July.
Now that he's apparently read it or I educated him on the facts, he's dropped that case from one of his cases he disagrees with. The Martinez case, I ask you the same thing. Have you read the press release? Have you read the press release that's been online since last summer? Because that lays out my position, and I disagree with Mr. Carlton. He's not correct. I have not changed my position. The reason the case cannot be prosecuted is because of Mr. Shalman acting in defense of another. That's why the case cannot be prosecuted. That's why he would not be guilty. And in Shasta County, we take, and I take, the right to self-defense, the right to defend another person very seriously. So all I would ask is anybody who has a disagreement or is uncertain about that case, look at the press release. It's out there. It even sets forth the law that talks about defense of another. It's been there for months. So my position has not changed. It's exactly the same. Just get your facts.
Thank you. Mr. Carlton, you have 2 minutes.
Saying that he hasn't changed his position is ridiculous. He's clearly changed his position. He first said he's guilty, but Shasta County juries are cowboys, and we wouldn't get a conviction. He said this case was in San Francisco, you'd get a conviction, but not in Shasta County. And no district attorney that knows what he's doing would take a poll to see if he could get a conviction. You review that case, and as a professional with years of experience, you know whether the evidence will support a conviction, and you file it. You don't go on the street corner and ask people what they think. That is ridiculous. The 12-year-old case, I have read the police report. Mr. Benito has misrepresented that case. He said that she was driving, weaving in and out of traffic. She did not do that. I read that police report. She was bringing her daughter home from the eastern part of the county on Highway 299 and had an accident. She was negligent. Technically, that's a violation. It's a involuntary manslaughter. The police officer was negligent. That's a technical violation of the manslaughter law. There's no distinction between the cases. They're both simple negligent. If the police officer or the if the 12-year-old girl case, if that was as bad as Mr. Benito says, it would not be simple negligence. It would be gross negligence, and it would be felonious conduct. But he filed it as a simple negligence case. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Benito, there have been statements concerning low morale in the DA's office. What is your opinion, and what facts do you have to that proves your opinion?
Well, absolutely false. The morale is extremely high in our office, and I think you have to look at what the indicators are. Let's look at employee turnover, because I think that's a great point to talk about. Mr. Carlton suggests that this 90% turnover. What he's talking about is how many allocations there are for attorneys and how many attorneys have left over 7 years, and he comes up with 90%. If you use that formula, under his reign, his regime, when he was the DA, the turnover was well over 100%. If you look at my predecessor, if you use that same formula, it's over 100%. The formula is not how you determine turnover. I'll tell you how you determine turnover. You look at my office. Right now, my management staff have been there 5 years. We've had one turnover. That would be my assistant DA who ran for judge successfully, Dan Flynn, and I supported him in that. That's the only turnover I've had in senior management. My investigators, we haven't had turnover in 3 years. Support staff, 3 years. Admin, 3 years. Attorney, we've had a few attorneys leave. But as I've said, my standards are very high. I have high expectations. And even with the formula that Mr. Carlton uses, mine is below his and even my predecessor's. In addition, how many grievances have been filed against my office by any of the unions? Zero. Not one grievance in all of these years that I've been the district attorney. Not one. Including the issues Mr. Carlton raised about employee being fired, etc. No grievances fired or filed at all. Not one. And then also you have to look at outcomes. Because employees with low morale don't produce, do they?
my employees produce. That's how we have the second highest DUI conviction rate in the entire state of California. Entire state of California. That's why our felony conviction rate is higher, above state average or at state average since I've been the district attorney. They were previously below the state average. You also have the fact that methamphetamine cases are down by 50%. You have employees that work together well, get along together well. In fact, if you look at the current district attorneys, the attorneys in the office, over 20 of the 23 attorneys support me, actively support me. How is that low morale? It's not. It's high morale, and the only reason Mr. Carlton doesn't know that is because he is not in the office, and he doesn't see it. When he talks about low morale or disarray, my attorneys look around and wonder which county he's talking about.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Benito. We have about 5 minutes before we have to take our 8:30 break, where we're going to have Fox News. Yes, we are.
Okay. All right. You have 2 minutes, Mr. Brown.
Thank you. It's absolutely irresponsible to say that there is no problem with morale in the district attorney's office. He has had 90% turnover rate, and these people are not retiring. These people are leaving the office because they don't get along with this Mr. Benito. And I'm talking about good, well-respected lawyers. He has two of his former deputies are Superior Court judges, and one of them is my niece. The other one, Greg Gall, I brought to Shasta County back in 1985. They left the district attorney's office not because they wanted to pursue a career on the bench. They left because they couldn't get along with Mr. Benito. I know that for a fact because both of them have told me that. So his contention that everything is fine. Of the people that have left the office under Benito, just about 100% of them have endorsed my candidacy. I have over 30 ex-deputy DAs that have endorsed my candidacy, in addition to every living district attorney. So to say that
30 seconds?
You have 30 seconds.
Okay.
Left.
To say that everything is fine in his office is just lies. It is not fine.
I'm sorry.
That's all.
Thank you. Mr. Benito, do you have 2 minutes?
Perhaps you should ask the people that work for my office instead of the people who used to work for my office. There are reasons why they're ex-employees, attorneys that are ex-prosecutors are criminal defense attorneys. Now, why would criminal defense attorneys not support a district attorney's office, but every law enforcement union support me? That's because we're effective. We get out there and get the job done. Criminal defense attorneys do not like an effective DA's office. Current prosecutors do, and current law enforcement do. I think you ought to look at that list and see how many of those attorneys are actually criminal defense attorneys or were prosecutors back in the 70s or 80s, because that's what you're going to find. Are attorneys who do not and are not committed to being prosecutors and lifetime prosecutors. That's what I have. I have people, I raise the bar, and these are the attorneys who are able to meet those standards. Those who aren't, they can leave, because I believe the taxpayers deserve the best, not just mediocre attorneys, but the best attorneys. And I'm probably the first district attorney in probably 20 or 30 years to actually require that attorneys be competent before their first year of being on probation is over, because after a year, they're permanent employees. I actually make sure they meet up to standards, and if they don't, they're gone, because you absolutely deserve the best for your dollar, and that's what we're delivering.
Thank you. We are with Jerry Benito and Steve Carlton here in a live debate at Tobacco and Brew.
2143 Hilltop Drive. It's Carlton DeBott here on KCNR 1460. We're going to take a break here in about, 30 seconds? Okay, we got about 30 seconds here. You can still come down and join us. Now, we've been covering issues that range from marijuana, illegal immigration, the Sheriff's Department, and now we're into the DA's office, and we only have about 25 more questions on that. And I haven't even gotten to militias, so we may not get to militias today.
And Second Amendment.
And the Second Amendment. We will get to the Second Amendment today. Then I want everybody to remember is that everything that's being said today is being archived on Free Fire Radio. So you'll be able to hear this later on today or at the latest tomorrow. So you'll be able to hear what the questions are. This is Carl in the Box, Free Fire Radio.
Death and chaos in Iraq, a series of attacks, at least 58 dead, well over 100 wounded.
Authorities say it's revenge attacks, plain and simple, and they add more just like today's are bound to come. Car bombs hit Shia targets across the capital. The Sunni terrorists want to trigger a sectarian war with the Shia and return Iraq to chaos.
Fox's Dominic DiNatale in Iraq, the violence follows the killing of two top al-Qaeda leaders in Iraq earlier this week. 11 suspected pirates indicted on charges related to two attacks on U.S. naval vessels off the coast of Africa, and a major growth spurt for home sales.
The Commerce Department says new home sales rose 27% last month, biggest monthly rise in 47 years. The increase seen is stemming from better weather and the waning home buyer tax break.
Fox Radio's Chris Barnes, Fox News. We report, you decide.
The Shasta District Fairgrounds will be sizzling hot for Hot-O-Rama April 22nd through the 25th. Featuring cars of all makes, models, and years. Hot rods, muscle cars, production cars, imports, motorcycles, dragsters, 4x's, and more. It's music, sound-offs, hop-offs, rock crawling, burnouts, and motorcycle competitions. There'll be live demos, food, vendors, and the Hot-O-Rama raffle benefiting the American Red Cross. And also featuring Anderson's first controlled cruise. Hot-O-Rama April 22nd through the 25th. Get your tickets today.
Five Star Bank is here for you for more than 10 years in the Great North Valley. It's true, Americans are the hardest working people on the planet. Just ask anyone that has made the commitment to be their own boss. Whether you are fulfilling your ambitions by starting your own business or growing your successful business, Five Star Bank is here with smart, safe, and stable advice. Your bank should act like a business partner with your business in mind. Being able to rely on a bank that really understands that kind of relationship is peace of mind. Five Star Bank is here for you. It's tough out there. Let Five Star Bank help you put the shine on this recovering economy. Smart people doing good business. Visit us at 358 Hartnell in Reading or call us at 223-6652. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Oh, look, honey, I found that espresso machine we got as a wedding present still in the box.
Well, you think it's time to open it up? We've been married for 2 years already. I'm not even sure we even know how to use it.
Well, let's take it to Espresso Joe's. The girls will teach us how to use it and make that perfect cup.
I don't know if it even came from Espresso Joe's.
Doesn't make any difference where you got it. They'll show you how to use it. And they should know, since they have espresso machines, tidy makers, French press, and regular coffee makers.
Hey, that's a great idea, hon. And while you're learning how to make that perfect cup of coffee, I'll be in the humidor and tobacco and brew, picking out that perfect cigar.
Espresso Joe's is located at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Reading, inside Tobacco and Brew.
Espresso Joe's is inside Tobacco and Brew, who have a 34-year history of providing the finest tobaccos to the North Valley. A terrific selection of fine cigars, both imports and domestics. Step into their walk-in humidor and find something special. Or try one of the grab bag cigars at 20% off. Lots of pipes and accessories, too, at Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive, across from the Flag Store.
Market volatility seems here to stay. What does this mean for your investments and what steps should you take? Uncertain times call for experience that you can trust. By working with your Morgan Stanley Smith Barney financial advisor, you'll gain insights that can answer these questions to make important investment decisions for your portfolio today that can help you reach your future goals. Please call Rick Hill at 223-4200. That's Rick Hill at 223-4200.
Come fly with me, let's fly away. If you can use some excitement.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. On KCNR 1460, it's Carl and Linda Bott. We're down at 2143 Hilltop Drive at Tobacco and Brew. We're in the conference room there. We're having a debate between the Shasta County District Attorney candidates, Shasta County District Attorney Jerry Benito and his very able challenger, Steve Carlton. We've got about really only 10 minutes left for the questions, and then we're going to have a five-minute summation from each of the candidates here so we can finish up hopefully right around that 9 o'clock time frame, or Dennis Miller calls me directly.
By the way, we have to do our station ID, which is you're listening to Kay Shasta. I mean,
how about KCNR, Shasta Redding? How about KCNR, Shasta Redding?
That's when I first came to Redding. That's who I used to work for. Still in my DNA, I suppose. But anyway, let's get to the questions here. And
this one goes to Mr. Carlton.
Meth continues to be a huge problem in Shasta County. What will you do to eradicate this problem?
Well, if I knew how to eradicate meth, I'd be a millionaire. But what we need to do, methamphetamine and all drugs now, possession for personal use, have been decriminalized, and thinking now is to try to work on treatment as opposed to punishment. And I think that that's where we have to go. We have to beef up the treatment available for these people. And we're talking about first-time, second-time users that have no other criminal record. We need to get them out of that so that they can become productive citizens. And that's the goal of any society, is to rehabilitate people and get them out of the system. And that's what we want to do, and not just lock them up and then turn them loose without giving them any help and any support. So that's what I think we have to do. I know Mr. Benito, I know what he's going to say, that he's tough on methamphetamine. He files them all as felonies, so even small amounts, which is a violation of the law to do that. But he claims that he is real tough, and every methamphetamine arrest ends up in a felony prosecution. When I say it's against the law, he's required to exercise his discretion, because possession of marijuana can be either a misdemeanor or a felony, depending on the circumstances. He ignores that part of the law and just files them all as felonies, and so he can go out and say he's tough on methamphetamine, when in reality he knows that if it's a misdemeanor, the court is going to reduce it to a misdemeanor. So he plays that little game with the court and the public about being tough on methamphetamine. But again, what we really need to do is to get these people the proper treatment so we can try to make a difference in their lives, which, if we are successful, will make a difference in our lives.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Benito, you have 2 minutes.
Thank you. Fighting methamphetamine in our county is not a game. However, methamphetamine is a serious offense, and it's a serious drug. I mean, everybody would admit that's the most dangerous drug we have in our community. So why is cocaine, LSD, and heroin considered a felony, but methamphetamine can be a misdemeanor? Before I became the district attorney, that's the way it was here. And I changed that back in 2005 and said that methamphetamine possession is going to be a felony. And I am exercising my discretion under the law to choose how to file it. There are occasions where it does get filed as a misdemeanor, but they're felonies because that's how serious the meth problem is. And do you know what's happened since then? The methamphetamine cases in our county have dropped by over 50% steadily since that time. Now, I'm not saying it's just the policy we had. There are other policies going on at the same time. But we were one piece of that, and that's made a huge difference in our community. I was just at the CINTIF meeting, which is our drug task force, and I was amazed that RPD just did a tremendous stop on a major meth dealer in town. Do you realize the amount of methamphetamine they got from that person in one month exceeded all the methamphetamine that was confiscated all of last year? One stop or a couple stops in 1 month. That's because we've reduced it. Now, why should it be a felony? Because with all of those rehabilitation programs, and believe me, I've been very much involved, first one to be involved in our drug court locally. But with those rehabilitation programs, the addicts will only go through those programs if they have that hammer, and having that felony over their head is the hammer to get them through the process. Thank you.
All right, thank you. By the way, when I make this strange hand signal, it means you have 30. No, that means you have 30 seconds
left.
Oh,
let me keep going then.
Well, I just marked you off there.
Oh, Carl.
And because I'm closer on this side, so I can show 30 seconds. No, that means just 30 seconds, and my
apologies. Okay, can I have my 30 seconds, though?
Okay,
you can. Okay, thank you, Carl. I appreciate it. The reason it's important is because drug addicts will go through treatment if they're forced to. And having that felony over their head so that they have a choice of either being successful through treatment or going to state prison increases the chances they're going to go through that treatment and take it seriously. And if you talk to any drug and alcohol counselor, they're going to tell you they want that hammer over their head. And that's why more people will be successful if they have that very, very clear choice, prison or being clean and sober. And those are the choices we need to have people make when they're on methamphetamine. Thank you.
Ms. Carlton.
The fact of the matter is, whether it's a misdemeanor or a felony, you can't not give this person jail time. They have to get, under the law, they have to get treatment unless they violate probation. But a person is convicted of a possession of marijuana or possession of methamphetamine will get treatment and not jail time. So we have to focus on jail time. The treatment program, and get these people out of the system, and we have to do a better job of that, and we have to apply our resources to rehabilitation and not jail.
Okay, thank you. Okay, Mr. Benito, this is your question. On the Second Amendment, in your opinion, what does the Second Amendment guarantee?
To me, the Second Amendment guarantees an individual right to bear arms or have a firearm. And it really is grounded in the idea of self-defense. I was one of the few district attorneys in California that signed an amicus brief. That's a brief with a friend of the court for the U.S. Supreme Court in a major decision that made it clear that individuals have the right to bear firearms. There weren't a whole lot of district attorneys, including the one from San Francisco. The one from San Francisco would not sign it, but the ones from basically the Central Valley, the more conservative areas, signed that brief. And the U.S. Supreme Court agreed with us that each individual has the right to bear arms. And that is because we want to and we believe in the right to defend ourselves. So I believe the Second Amendment is an individual right. It is not just a right of law enforcement or militias or our military. It is an individual right so that you can defend yourself. In those briefs that were filed with the court, I was really struck when I read them that they talk about how criminals strike when they want to. They strike, they choose the time, place, and their victim. We as victims don't get that opportunity, and we are oftentimes surprised. And having that firearm available, if need be, oftentimes will scare that criminal away and actually prevent further crime from occurring. And that's why the Second Amendment guarantees that right, and that's why I believe in that as well.
Okay, thank you.
I'm giving you back the 30 seconds.
Oh, you certainly are. You're giving us back almost a minute there. Mr. Carlton, your opinion on, what is your opinion of what the Second Amendment guarantees?
Well, I agree. I agree with Mr. Benito in that regard, the right to bear arms. And even for self-protection, I think that's the basis of the Second Amendment. And Mr. Benito always talks about that he supports the right of self-defense. Well, that's like saying you support the right to eat breakfast. Everybody supports the right of self-defense. And he talks about your castle is your home and you can use self-defense. He recently tried a man who was involved in a dispute with another man. The other individual called him, said he was coming over to get him. He was 30 years younger than the homeowner. The homeowner was a retired police officer, and he got his shotgun. The homeowner got his shotgun in case anything was going to happen. This young guy, who is a big strapping guy, comes out of his car, rips off his shirt, and starts walking toward this guy. And the guy fires a shot in the air to warn him. And Mr. Benito, who loves the right of self-defense and right to protect your home, prosecutes him for this incident. The case went to trial. The jury acquitted him in less than 40 minutes. So I don't think he's everything he says he is on the right of self-defense.
2 minutes, Mr. Benito.
Well, first of all, I'd like to know what case that is, and then I'd be able to respond to it, since I obviously,
according to your office,
Carlton says I don't go to court. I don't know how I personally prosecuted this case. But we do have cases of self-defense that people do not even hear in the media, that we make decisions that the homeowner was appropriate in the way that they acted in self-defense using a firearm. There are some cases where the force is excessive, given the circumstances, or whether or not whether the force was even appropriate, given what the circumstances were at the time. And in some cases, the homeowner who might overreact and fire without there being a threat of great bodily injury or death, those are cases where we're going to have to try under some circumstances. That particular one I remember vaguely, but I don't recall all the specific facts of it, so I can't really address that at this time. But there are a number of cases that we review, and sometimes we're able to determine that the self-defense is appropriate and we don't file the charges, such as one in Anderson, where a gentleman was awakened in the middle of the night because somebody was trying to take a vehicle out of a detached garage. He went out there to see what was happening. The person who ended up getting shot actually took the gun away from the homeowner. The homeowner then went in and got another gun, and when the criminal started to approach him, he fired and killed him. That was a case that was submitted to our office. We reviewed, and we did not file the charges in that case because the homeowner had every right to defend himself against a thief who was taking property from his home area and then approaching him in a threatening manner. That case, it was clear to us that it was an act of self-defense in defending his home. We didn't file those charges. A case you may not have even made the media, because that's the way we are. We make 14,000 decisions a year, and not every single one of them makes the media or is filed in court.
Thank you. We have reached the point where we're at the we're going to go into our summations here, our summary by each of the candidates. We're going to give 6 minutes to each candidate to talk about, to sum up today or their opinions and their positions. And because Mr. Carlton, started off with today, he's going to start the summaries first and then Mr. Benito finishes. So we have, I said 5 minutes. We're going to go on to a 6 minute because just the way the timing is here. So Mr. Carlton, if you'd. Okay, I am going to give you five because we are going to be out of time then. Okay, you have 5 minutes then, beginning now. Thank you.
Okay. Well, I wanted to comment a little bit on some of the things that Mr. Benito brought up. He talked about the conviction rate and that he challenges my statistics. My statistics or a document that I was received from Superior Court when I made a public information request. These are documents from the court. And on this document, it shows on felony trials, convictions percentage, 57%, 27% acquittals, 16% lesser included offenses, which are could be misdemeanor on a like a misdemeanor battery in a assault with a deadly weapon case and that sort of thing. So these are the stats, and I have not altered them. I've got them here, and you can look at them. The turnover rate, he talks about 20 lawyers in his office have endorsed him. Well, the only thing that surprises me is what are the other 23 or the other three? Why didn't they endorse him? Is very obviously somebody working in that office isn't going to endorse anybody else other than Mr. Benito. Every deputy district attorney that worked for me has endorsed me. And when he talks about my turnover rate, my lawyers left because they got promotions. I had six of my lawyers. My staff of 13 went on to become Superior Court judges, two of them elected district attorneys in this state. But really what I want to do here, how much time do I have?
You have 3 minutes and 30 seconds.
Okay. Really what I want to do, and I'm going to do this in a hurry, is talk about myself a little bit. I'm not one to talk about myself, but when you're running for office, you just have to do that. So I'm going to do that. I was born and raised in Shasta County. My parents came to Redding in 1935, shortly after my father completed law school. My parents met at the University of California. I'm going fast because there's a five-minute talk that I'm going to give in 3 minutes. My parents met at the University of California at Berkeley during their college days. My dad practiced law in Redding for 40 years and was one of the most respected lawyers in Northern California. He was district attorney in Shasta County in 1942, the year I was born. My father's love of the law was exceeded only by his love of his family, with the possible exception of his love for the Boston Red Sox. My sister, brother, and I were very fortunate to have parents we had. If we didn't do something positive in our lives, we only had to look in the mirror to find the culprit. They taught us values, right from wrong, the golden rule, and fairness. I've been practicing law for 40 years, and for those 40 years, I had been treating people fairly. In 1969, I was sworn in as a licensed attorney, along with several hundred other lawyers, in a ceremony at the 3rd District Court of Appeals in Sacramento. My father was the speaker at that ceremony. I started my law career in Fresno County office in 1969. I was appointed assistant district attorney in that office in 1979 and was the number two man in an office of over 40 lawyers. I met my wife in the Fresno district attorney's office, and we're working on our 39th year anniversary. I've raised two kids, and 6 weeks ago I got into the grandparenting business. Like my dad, a family is everything to me. What does that mean?
That means you have about 3 seconds, sir.
Family is everything to me, I would love to finish this. I would have finished it, but I had to respond a little bit to Mr. Benito. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Colton is finished. Mr. Benito, your turn.
Nice recovery.
Hey, I'm a trained pro here, okay?
Well, I work for my opponent, and I don't endorse him. So let me make that clear. Not all the attorneys endorse you. I believe the district attorney must have a variety of skills. They need to have current experience. They need to have leadership skills. They need to be innovative, and the district attorney needs to be effective and have integrity. And I have all of that. Experience, well, nearly 20 years as a prosecutor, not as a defense attorney. I started in the trenches, worked my way up to mid-management, higher management, and as the district attorney since 2003. And it's important now to have all of those skills and experience because of the fiscal crisis we're in. You've got to have current knowledge. You have to be able to solve the problems that we have, to find shortcuts to doing the same job with fewer resources.
In the 1980s, when my opponent was the district attorney, we didn't have computers. We didn't have internet. We didn't have emails. There were no cell phones. There wasn't even DNA at that time. There was no integrated court system, and it was a fraction of the responsibilities that we have now. I have the current experience to make this office move through this fiscal crisis successfully, as we have already. And you got to have leadership skills. That is shown by a tremendous conviction rate. And Mr. Carlton talks about having this 1 year he got from the Superior Court. You know what? You don't have to make a Public Records Act request. It's on the Internet, folks. The Internet has the records going back to 1997 and 98, and they're free. You don't have to make a request. That's where I get my numbers, from the state of California. That's where we get the numbers for the felony conviction rate, and that's where you see a swing of about 13% in the overall conviction rate from below state average to above state average. And I also have Mr. Carlton's records from when he was the DA the last year. His records are all below state average when he left, and he says everything was wonderful. Mine are above. And the DUI conviction rate, as I said, second in the state of California, and that's according to the Department of Motor Vehicles, again, online. New programs are only developed with great leadership, and I've been the spearhead in many of those projects. With the fiscal crisis upon us, we have to make the cuts, find new grants, and develop those new programs and use that leadership, those leadership skills to make those things happen. Because right now we have a small margin for error. We don't have the ability to adjust very easily. We've got to have somebody that knows what they're doing. And we need somebody with a positive attitude, somebody who has a can-do attitude, and somebody who sees this fiscal crisis as a challenge and not a roadblock. You've got to be innovative as the DA, and I have been. The first stalking unit ever in Shasta County. We've had the first vertical prosecution for rape cases. I've developed programs for domestic violence that had never been in Shasta County before, two of them. Real estate fraud, first time ever. Illegal dumping, our Don't Trash Shasta program, where we've gotten over 140 illegal dumpers to clean up their own garbage on land in Shasta County. So the taxpayers don't have to pay for it, and private landowners don't have to pay for it. I developed these programs that divert low-level criminals out of the jail into rehabilitation programs that they pay for at their expense. You don't have to pay for it. They do. That's an alternative program that I developed. There are electronic programs, automated programs that we have developed because of the innovative skills that I have. And we've been effective. No prosecutor is worth their salt if they're not effective. I've talked to you about the conviction rates that are by state records, not my own. We've been effective with our stalking unit. We've been effective with the rape unit. We've been effective in reducing the methamphetamine. And in each of those programs, the goal has always been to get the job done. My employees also are the best that you could ask for. And I hold them to a high standard because I believe it's important that we have the best employees for your tax dollar. And he talks about it, judgment integrity. Well, let me tell you what integrity is. Being fiscally responsible before it becomes required. Raising expectations of employees because you as taxpayers deserve the best. Constantly thinking of and developing proactively new ways of keeping our community safe even before the issue arises. Ensuring that programs are developed and effective. And having the guts to make the tough calls and be transparent about it and let everybody see why you're making those calls. And having the passion and the love for the job that you have to do it 110%. I've demonstrated these skills because of my commitment to my family and my commitment to you. And I ask for your support on June 8th and your vote so that I can continue that great work.
You've been listening to a live broadcast here on KCNR. Shasta Redding, between Steve Carlton and Jerry Benito. Thank you for listening, and you can always go to our archives at KCNR1460.com and check out what you heard earlier today.
Or maybe what you thought you heard.
But yeah.
First of all, thank you very much, gentlemen, for being here. It's not easy to come on and try to do all of the keep to all of the time limits and to do this. So this is Carl on the Bot from Free Fire Radio. Thank you very much for our audience also for showing up today.
Thank you for being
Just remember, you know, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
This is KCNR Shasta Redding.
Closing time. One last call for Alpha. alcohol's a finisher, whiskey or beer. Closing time. You don't have to go home, but you can't